In September, Governor Kathy Hochul was asked about decriminalizing sex work in New York and responded that it was something she had thought about and was considering. With the next legislative session right around the corner, we wanted to examine what it might mean to change the state's rules governing sex work, and to do that, we're joined by Andy Bowen, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center and a principal at Bowen Public Affairs Consulting. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
It's our pleasure. So, for starters, can you give us some sort of context as to the size, scope, and shape of the sex work economy that exists in New York currently?
That is a hard thing to quantify. People are doing work that is necessarily underground. We know that we have history of people being having their civil rights violated by vice squads. We know that there are people doing this work statewide, and it exists in many forms. People do it through choice, through circumstance, as in like it is survival, and also through coercion. And in general, the folks I work with are here to support people no matter what reason they're in sex work and make things safer. Moving beyond that, we know that it is criminalized. It's criminalized through both state statute and many other laws. And it is in the human rights interest of sex workers and anyone who cares about them to fully decriminalize.
And when we think about people who are involved in the sex work economy, what do we know about these people? Who are they? Where do they come from? Where are they based in New York State from a geographical perspective? Can you shed some light on that?
People of all potential demographics. I mean, people do sex work for a wide variety of reasons. We know it in the city, for example, that actually most of the people who would be folks who are soliciting sex workers are actually white, but we know that vice predominantly goes after people of color. So the predominant legal attacks are upon Black, Indigenous, people of color communities, Latinx folks. There's a lot of trans folks and transgender people. And so we just know that the hammer of the law is most acutely felt statewide and in New York City by people of color. And, you know, that very strongly includes Black trans women and trans Latina.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the enforcement, because it seems like the penal code, as it addresses sex work, is kind of enforced to varying degrees based on where people live and the priorities that law enforcement has set up there. Has that always been the case? And does it seem like the criminal justice system is evolving in the way it approaches crimes related to sex work right now?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's geographically based, but it's like, and also there are complexities there. I mean, it's like, so we know that in Brooklyn, Eric Gonzalez, who is the district attorney, has been against prosecuting sex workers. And yet I know that there has been activity against sex workers in Brooklyn. So that is a thing. Nevertheless, yeah, we are seeing DAs take on policies. Cyrus Vance being the most notable example. We're seeing more and more DAs recognize that this is not something they want the state to do. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, your local vice squads and or other arms of the law, which even includes 311 calls, have necessarily slowed down. And there are other ways that laws enforce, such as, by raiding massage parlors, you know, most notably with unlicensed massage parlors. And that happened most notably with the death of Yang Song in 2017. So it's enforced in many different ways. against many different populations. And, you know, there are variations on how sex work is policed. And that, you know, there is, again, the more privileged a person is, and that's with race and class, probably the less likely they are to get busted by police. But, you know, we still are hearing, even though I'd say, like, in New York City, the policing activity has dipped in many areas. And, you know, as an activist, I still get emails saying, like, oh, things are getting more intense in a particular area, even though, you know, for a long time it seems quiet. So it's differential by geography, by time, by political circumstances, and more.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about the decriminalization of sex work in New York, and our guest is Andy Bowen, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center. In a perfect world, how would you like to see state law in New York address sex work?
We would like to see full decriminalization of sex work from all of the angles, whether it is the sex workers themselves, whether it is people who are there to purchase the services of sex workers, whether it's people who support people who are engaged in sex work. Every part of a transaction should be decriminalized. Decriminalizing sex work is a human right. If it's consensual, adult sex work should just be a viable work option, just like, you know, I do advocacy work for pay. It's a way for people to supplement their income or to make a good living. And, you know, as we see models around the world that do anything less than full decriminalization, we see worse health effects, more people hiding from the law and thus being less likely to seek redress for when they are brutalized. So decriminalization is the thing that will get us better working conditions. It will decrease human trafficking because people will be more willing to go to the police because they won't be afraid that they're going to be arrested. It will decrease health risk. It'll protect people from police violence. It will protect people from violence and abuse. It's the way to go. Decriminalization is the way to go.
If there was to be full decriminalization, as you're talking about, would that then have to come with some sort of regulations? Because it sounds like you were talking about this just like, you know, it would be the potential for any other economic opportunity. So would you want to see the state to then impose regulations, taxes, safety rules, whatever?
Right now, we're focused on making sure that we have good law that allows people to be able to live without being afraid of being brutalized in the ways that they currently are. There are models across the world that, you know, where, you know, sex workers are able to, you know, make complaints about not being paid proper wages. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see, I mean, we have legalized sex trades, and we would want to make sure that we see a world in which people can get redress for abuses. That being said, we don't want to see criminalization. So right now I am deeply focused on, and folks I work with are deeply focused on sort of statutory and the regulatory pieces that criminalize law. So we don't want to see regulations that deeply that criminalizes sex work in any way. That is something I can say 100% for sure. And we want to make sure people have redress for being brutalized on the job.
So then, if there was a decriminalization, what regulations would you want to see? Because it sounds like you'd still want there to be protections to ensure that there's a safe working environment, for example.
We want people to feel comfortable going to authorities if they are in an unsafe work environment. Mm-hmm. And that actually, you know, I don't want to go into regulatory discussions primarily because I think that that is a broader community conversation.
Which we're not, that, I feel like we're not at that point yet where there's a consensus about what that should look like.
I think that it's not for me to discuss as someone who is, like, I do advocacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to be working deeply with communities. Like, we haven't gotten to the point of passing any of these pieces of legislation yet.
Right.
There is work to be done. I mean, in all of the work that has been done on the Stop Violence in the Sex Trades Act, which is what I support, has been done with community consultation. So, and we are continuing to do community consultation through the course of making that legislation happen.
So the news outlet City and State has reported that there are two different legislative approaches being considered by Democratic lawmakers decriminalizing prostitution in New York, one removing sex work from the criminal statutes, including as it pertains to customers, and another bill that doesn't go as far. What do you think of these two bills? Because, you know, based on the best case scenario that you described, it sounds like you would gravitate toward the former.
Definitely would go towards I support the Stop Violence in the Sex Trades Act, which is the full decriminalization act. You know, if you start criminalizing people who are purchasing sex, you know, purchasing the services of sex workers, you're still criminalizing the work, and you're still going to see sex workers be afraid of coming to authorities if they are brutalized, because I mean, we just know that vice squads are going to vice squad, right? And so even if they're theoretically, statutorily going after you know, people who are purchasing, I have no faith that's going to end with not also picking up sex workers for some or another reason. Also, it's going to just take away their business. And my colleague Cecilia Gentile wrote a brilliant op-ed in the New York Times, which I strongly recommend you all read, just talking about, you know, if we were to criminalize people who buy the services of sex workers, we end the livelihoods of the sex workers themselves and or drive it further underground and make it a more dangerous trade. It's the full decriminalization route is the best way to preserve the human rights and health and safety of sex workers writ large.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our discussion about the decriminalization of sex work in New York with our guest, Andy Bowen, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.
And we're continuing our discussion about the decriminalization of sex work in New York with our guest, Andy Bowen, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center. When you think about these two legislative approaches, it seems like the one that keeps aspects of sex work in the criminal code is designed to discourage sex work. And mm-hmm. the former, which completely decriminalizes it, would basically not provide any disincentive. Do you think that goal of the more limited bill of discouraging sex work is misguided, or should the state have a vested interest in trying to keep people out of the sex work economy?
The state has no vested interest in keeping people out of the sex work economy. People should be allowed to choose consensual adult sex work as a viable sex option. It's a job. people do it for, again, for many, many, many reasons. And there's no legitimate state interest in keeping people from being able to do that so long as it is consensual.
There's been an evolving and still evolving conversation, though, about sexual consent and what it really means to be in a position to authorize a sexual act. Would the decriminalization of sex work add kind of a wrench into that dialogue? For example, does the promise of money represent a form of sexual coercion?
No. It's a way for people to make a living in life, and it's a way for people, I mean, it's the buying and selling of goods, and people need to be able to make money off of it. And people should have the ability to, again, seek redress if they're being brutalized. Like, this does not end. This is completely commensurate. Decriminalization is commensurate with our evolving, and I think correctly evolving, standards of consent, that like it should be enthusiastic consent. People should be absolutely protected from anything that's non-consensual. If you criminalize any part of the transaction, which the bill that is not the one I support does, it's going to make it harder for sex workers to feel safe seeking redress for that kind of thing.
So the comment that Governor Kathy Hochul made at the end of September about decriminalization of sex work and her very narrowly opening the door to potential legislative action was a big deal in Albany, mm-hmm. considering I think 2019 was the first time we really even had a serious decriminalization bill, Senator Julia Salazar introducing that one back then. Where mm-hmm. do you see the political landscape on this right now in New York? You know, as an advocate, who are you talking to? What are the conversations like? And what do you think is realistic, say, in 2022?
I think we're having healthy conversations. It's a good sign that the governor wants to talk about this and look into this. You know, the ProPublica article that came out last December about NYPD Vice's activities was, at least in my world, earth-shattering. And, you know, everyone from, you know, Speaker Corey Johnson, City Council Finance Chair Danny Drum, and several state electeds, you know, all were like, we have to get rid of ICE. And, you know, we see the DA action saying, like, we're not going to criminalize sex work. So I see us going in the direction. And when you look internationally, places that have tried on the, like, we'll allow sex work, but it's what we call the Nordic model, right? Because that, you know, it comes out of
the Nordic
Sweden.
Countries in Europe. Yep.
Yes. So where, you know, it's the end-demand model, as other people call it. And, you know, we've seen places that have implemented that start going back on it. The Australian state of Victoria is one of those. They did a Nordic model piece of legislation, and now they've been like, you know what? Actually, we're not in favor of this. We're taking the stage towards decriminalization. New Zealand did something close to decriminalization, but it was like decriminalization, but not for people who are like on visas, you know, basically immigrants, migrants, people coming into the country. And we've seen worse health outcomes. One report said like literally like more people had UTIs. When you start criminalizing parts of the transaction, it makes people's lives worse. It puts things in the dark. It makes it harder for people to seek redress. It makes it people feel less safe seeking medical attention. And it makes it still, you know, there's both criminalization and then there's also normalization. And if you still criminalize part of it, you're still making part of it irreputable sort of in the public eyes. And so there's also still like the fear that you're not going to have people being as comfortable with it. And, you know, like New Zealand's a place where there's been a consensus that it's very important to make sure that we're overseeing the health of people in this trade, which is why they went very close to full decriminalization. And which is why places like Victoria have said, we're now going towards a decriminalization model. And their website explaining it is fantastic, the state of Victoria, and I think also New South Wales. So we see parts of Australia recognizing this.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capital Press Room, and we're talking about the decriminalization of sex work in New York, and our guest is Andy Bowen, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center. You know, you talk about how the Nordic model has been the one that's really been implemented in a lot of industrialized democracies, so it seems like that would be the model that lawmakers who want to do something about the dynamic in New York, but maybe aren't as comfortable going into full decriminalization, would probably gravitate toward. So are you finding yourself as an advocate that you have to essentially push against what you would probably see as a half measure, even if it might be better than the current dynamic, because you want really to have a complete transformation and a half measure might end up being the final say, at least in the interim?
It's not a half measure is the problem.
Okay.
It's not a half measure because it's still criminalization, right? It's still something that's going to lead to people having worse lives than they could have if we decriminalize.
But is it a net positive from where we are now?
No. I think it's still something because it's one of those
Would
situations where you, in senses, yeah, there's a, I feel like when you've presented a political situation where you say, oh, I think we kind of solved that problem, when you really haven't, when like we know that there's still going to be sex workers who are afraid of living their lives in the light, you know, you lose motivation to really solve the problem if you, you know, were you to take the Nordic model. It's not a half measure. It's not like an incremental improvement. It's something that is just like a variation on something that is still dehumanizing, and that is still going to lead to violation of people's human rights.
So as you think about accomplishing the full decriminalization, what's the realistic timeline that you're working with?
Well, I welcome Governor Hochul to speak with advocates of full decriminalization. They are an incredibly smart bunch. I'm proud to call them my colleagues and friends, and me among them, and learn from sex workers about what is going to protect people's lives. We see more countries turning that have gone towards the Nordic model turning away from it. I would like to see her speak with us and learn that this is the model that is the best way to preserve the human rights, the health of sex workers, and the one that's going to be most likely to decrease human trafficking, right? Like, it's going to be the thing that is going to most likely prevent people from being brutalized, because they won't be afraid that, you know, by dint of any of the transaction being criminalized, they're going to have to, you know, interact with police who are, you know, against it. Changing the culture, changing the law, fully decriminalizing is the way to really preserve the human rights of sex workers. And to, you know, just make sure that there is a viable work option that is not going to be in the shadows.
As you have those conversations, which could potentially take years, are there any interim measures that you want to see from the state capitol, whether it's laws that maybe further regulate vice squads and their practices, or decriminalizing certain aspects of sex work? Are there any bills that you're pushing in the interim?
One major thing that we want to see is unlicensed massage is something that is criminalized and lives within sort of education law, the education department that oversees that.
Because they do licensure, right?
Yeah. And so we would like to see, I mean, especially following from what we saw with Yang Song, with what we're still hearing is happening in unlicensed massage parlors, we could see, you know, get rid of the laws that criminalize unlicensed massage. That is one thing that could happen. We would love to see that as, of course, part of a full decrim package, but that is also something that could be done in advance. Yes, absolutely, getting rid of vice squads. Yes, huge proponent. I've been on the record with this several times with City Council, New York City Council, even within the last month. But, you know, of course, that also requires, there will be police departments who are like, well, so long as the statute is still on the state books, or these statutes, Section 230 and others, they're going to still go after it. So yes, I would love to see more local action to get rid of vice squads. I would love to see more DAs say we're not going to prosecute anyone who's doing this. We'd love to see more standing down. And we also need to see, we need to see a direction towards investing in what sex worker communities actually want to see on the ground in terms of services. One of the things that I've been learning about, also testified in front of New York City Council about, is, you know, New York City's vice squad has, I've been told, rebranded as human trafficking vice or anti-trafficking vice. And yet they're not, like, it's not social work that's happening there. Like, it's, right. There are stories of sex workers or people who've been trafficked, like these police who think that they're helping, just like keep on pursuing them, even though they say, I don't want these services. And so like that, the savior mentality that is also inherited, that like a lot of people think that like, because you are a sex worker, you are being trafficked, or even like the savior mentality that gets into what happens when police, you know, are working with trafficking survivors, doesn't necessarily help. And so I would rather see more money go towards social services and less towards policing in general. So if we could have more money towards sex worker directed social services, which could also be a budget item, that would be fantastic.
Well, we've been speaking with Andy Bowen, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Sex Workers Project of the Urban Justice Center and a principal at Bowen Public Affairs Consulting. Andy, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.